4 minutes past one, everybody. I'm here. Barry's here.
Hello.
Dave's here.
Hello.
Enthusiastic Ben's here.
All right.
I just want to ask you guys, right, so Barry's attitude to the footballer game, right, is poor, isn't it?
To be fair, I played it before the show with the same players, and I get Barry's thing of, if you don't know the answer and it's very frustrating, then you just give up. I just looked at the answers in the end and didn't even try to guess the player.
Can you not hear Dave, Barry?
Yeah, I can.
And what do you, but why, I mean, it's a part of the show, it's a game, get involved.
I am involved. Okay. I played.
Okay, are you going to play next week?
I'll sit there.
But will you play? Because it's kind of important.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Okay.
I'll sit there.
Yeah.
And if I know the answer,
yeah,
I'll say it.
Yeah.
And if I don't, I'll remain silent.
You won't do any guessing?
No.
It's part of the fun, isn't it?
I don't like guessing.
What do you mean you don't like guessing? What, in life?
Well, I like guess the attendance, obviously.
Yeah. Oh, so you do like guessing, right? In fact, of the only thing we have absolute proof of is you like guessing. So you can't say you don't like guessing. It's not like guessing's not my thing. I'm not one for guessing. Well, actually, probably your favourite part of the show.
No, but I don't like guessing unless I have... It's an educated guess.
Okay.
And in a lot of those, the footballer game, I literally have... Two of them today, I literally had not the foggiest idea who any of them... At one stage, I just said a player because I happened to know he once... played for Bradford. I knew it wasn't him. So what's the point in guessing it? I knew it was wrong.
Anyway, coming up, Barry's truculent approach to guessing and other things on a show that I quite enjoyed, actually, because I came in a bit tired because I was up till midnight.
At the cinema.
Yeah.
Saturday night cinema is weird.
Because?
I don't like it.
Why not?
I don't know. Saturday should be a night for other stuff.
Like sitting in the local, having 10 pints?
Well, I was sitting at home watching football matches go the exact opposite way I wanted them to.
Okay, you're okay about that now? Do you want to stop this chat?
I'll get over it.
We'll be back next week. Have a nice time. Tim in Oxfordshire doesn't think it's pathetic. Well, maybe he does, but he wants to join in anyway. Tim, how are you?
Thank you.
Tell us your story.
Years ago, I went to the Munich Beer Festival. I was in the Lauenbrau tent.
Yeah.
And I had a wee next to Lothar Matthäus.
Oh, that's glorious. Did you chat at all, or was it stare straight ahead, total silence?
I did have a sneaky peek, but I tried to keep looking at the wall.
Thank you, Tim. That's perfect. 08717223344. That's all the information that we need. It's time for this.
Max and Barry's Premier League review on TalkSport.
Yeah, it's international break, everybody. We all love it. Ollie in Manchester, speaking of great internationals, working at Old Trafford for an England game when Wembley was being rebuilt, went to the urinal, looked to my right, Gary Lineker was there. We just nodded at each other. Top that for a striker. Lineker. Okay, put him in. Did you watch the England game, Barry? Do you like an international break?
I don't dislike them as much as some. I'm not a huge fan of this one. The one, you know, that comes just... 2 or 3 weeks into the season, because season's just starting to get going, find a bit of momentum, and then everyone has to stop for 2 weeks. But yeah, I quite like international football.
Malta, England. I thought, right, look, I know it's one of their centre backs play for Ebbsfleet, right? You're on a hiding to nothing. You can't do anything. Paul Doyle on the Guardian pod was saying it should either you need to get double figures for it to be acceptable or lose. But I think it doesn't matter if you're playing a team of people who are really fit and they put 10 men behind the ball. It's quite difficult. I like to have Sunday League dirty Malta were, actually. Because
I didn't see this game.
Literally every single time an England player, and I don't think I'm just being biased because I'm an England fan, every single time an England player passed it, a Malta player would just leave one on them. Not enough for a foul, but literally, I thought Dele Alli's going to get sent off after 40 minutes. Eventually, he's going to snap and he's just going to say, I've had enough of this hopeless footballer, just every time I pass it, just kicking me a little bit. So look, you know, 4-0. it did flatter England a little bit, but you've just got to qualify. It's that simple. I don't know, how upset can you be? I suppose I didn't pay to go to Malta. Well, so those fans who sort of walked off maybe feel justified. I don't understand if you're going to go all the way to Malta to watch a football match, why you wouldn't watch the whole football match. I mean, that seems slightly strange. Although there was that Manchester United fan in that infamous game in Cluj when I was told I was everything that was wrong with football, who left after 40 minutes with his wife following him going, can we not once make half-time on one of these European adventures?
I was kind of impressed with what Harry Kane said afterwards, you know, mm-hmm. where he had a little dig at some of the fans who criticise England, and he, you know, he said it takes a lot of commitment to reach the top, starting from a very young age, blah, blah, blah. I'm extremely proud to represent my country. I know the other players are. We're by no means the finished article, but we've got to stay patient as a country together because it's not going to happen overnight. And then, you know, he had a dig as well at, you know, I don't think the fans who criticise, he was talking about, I don't think they understand what it takes. It's probably why they're sitting at home watching and we're out there playing.
Strong words.
Strong words.
But you need the
softly spoken by Harry, but I'd imagine he probably got a bit of criticism for that. Yeah. Would he have?
Oh, potentially. But you know, I think it must. And the other thing about international football is if you're a footballer, it's not as magical as if you're a fan, okay? Like, if somebody said, Max, do you want to play for England? I'd be like, yes, please. Because obviously it's never going to happen. If you're a footballer of that quality, it might happen. So it's sort of part of your job. So it makes it a bit different and less magical. Because once you've done it once, it's not like, oh, my God, I'm playing for England. I don't believe. I can understand why players don't, like, dream to do it every minute of the day.
Yeah, well, you see some players where they retire from international football, you know, when they don't need to, and people say, oh, it should be an honour to play and whatever. But I'd imagine if you're representing your country, obviously a great honour. But if you're just turning up all the time to sit on the bench, it must get quite tedious.
Do you want to say any more about Ireland?
Not really. It was a very disappointing result. They were in a great position to possibly win their group. Now they may struggle to get the runner-up spot, you know, just on the back of one absolutely dreadful performance.
And Wales won 1-0 against Austria.
Did you watch that game?
No, I've seen the highlights. I've seen Ben Woodburn's goal, and as producer Dave says, it is better when it's set to the Titanic music. But what a great finish. And they have, I know, ever since I watched that Wales documentary that Johnny Owen made, I've sort of partly want to be Welsh, because it just looks like they actually have some fun and enjoy their football at an international tournament, which is not something
I remember
with
Ireland as well. I don't know what it's like with Scotland, but yeah, England, the England squad doesn't look like it's much fun to be in. Whereas, say, the Irish guys and the Welsh guys, I don't know about the Scots, but, you know, they seem to enjoy, you know, going. I'm sure if Cass was still here, he may well be hanging around outside. He would say that playing for Ireland was probably the highlight of his, you know, working life, because it was just such fun.
Yeah.
They'd turn up, they'd all go out, get smashed, train a bit, play their game. And
win.
And, well, not always.
Let's find out about Scotland. We can chat to Stuart Weir from the Herald. Stuart, how are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Yeah, very good. I mean, mainly because when I sent this tweet out about the Urinal 11, you said you had a great anecdote, which we'll get to in a second. but look, Gordon Strachan said Scotland were phenomenal.
Yes.
Were they?
Listen, it's phenomenal. I would use the word phenomenal if we'd beaten Spain or England or Germany. I think beating Lithuania in the best, what could best be described as a public park, where one end of the ground has actually got wire meshing to stop you kicking the ball into somebody's sugar beets collection. You know, it wasn't exactly salubrious to say the least, but it was a good victory. You know, 3-0, Scots winning away from home, good goals, fantastic goal from Andy Robertson of Liverpool for the second one. But I do think, even though we won 3-0, we still face three cup finals against Malta, against Slovenia and Slovakia, and we still are reliant upon England probably doing us a favour against the Slovenians and Slovakians. So it's all ifs and buts for Scotland, but we're certainly in a better place than we were before the game on Friday night.
Yeah, and there seems a bit of hope after the England game as well. You know, there seems to be a it seemed for a long time, basically, it all been negative. It all been how long Strachan got, he's going to go. And that does seem to have changed slightly.
Yeah, I think there was a bit of kind of euphoria after the England game. More than the fact the two goals that Lee Griffiths scored were quite superb against Joe Hart. But I think a few Scotland fans were actually in Glasgow City Centre celebrating a 2-1 victory and didn't actually realise we'd only drawn that game. You know, I think they'd all bailed out and said, that's us won this one, 3 points, we're on our way to Russia, and forgot about Harry Kane. But no, I think the feeling is generally a bit better. I'll tell you more on that after Malta and the two remaining matches. But we're certainly a better place just now than we were, as you say, halfway through the campaign.
Okay, so what's your anecdote, Stuart?
Toilet humour.
Yeah.
Okay. Years ago, first European Super Cup final between Rangers and Ajax, winners of the European Cup and the Cup Winners' Cup. Second leg is in Scotland. Ajax have decamped to quite a nice hotel down in the west coast of Scotland. They were down at Seamill. Celtic used to use it. Scotland used to use it. But a couple of the guys, journalists, were sent down there to speak to the Ajax players. Couldn't get a word out of them. And were ready for heading home. So before they left, they went to the bathroom, as you do. One of the journalists, James Sanderson, he stood at one of the urinals, left a space. Other chap, Jim Patterson, went and used the other one. Who walked in between the two of them? Arguably the best player in the world at the time, Johan Cruyff. Oh,
glorious.
Who looked to one side, looked to the other side, said, good morning, gentlemen. The two of them, you know, said good morning back. And James Sanderson said, looking forward to the game, Mr. Cruyff? Yes, I am. Looking forward to playing the Rangers? Yes, indeed. Did their zips up, washed their hands and walked out, and that was it. So Jim Patterson phoned his Daily Express desk, phoned the sports editor. Anything doing? No, nothing. Not a word. So next morning, his phone was ringing, picked up the phone. It was his sports editor. I thought you said that you know, the Dutch wouldn't speak. Johan Cruyff said nothing. You know, he never said a word. Why has Jim Sanderson got the back page of his paper saying, my dream to play for Rangers?
That's...
And a double page spread inside saying how he thought that Rangers could conquer Europe.
Hey, that's journalism at its best, isn't it? Oh, I love that, Stuart. Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
You know, back in those days, you could probably do something like that. I think there's too many people walking about with cameras and the likes these days. Not that we'd use them in the gents, but certainly there's too much recorded now for you to get away with that.
Yeah, probably.
A fantastic tale.
Thank you very much, Stuart. I mean, I suspect a lot of people would do it in the toilets, really, wouldn't they? Thanks so much, Stuart Weir from the Herald. You are listening to the warm-up on TalkSport. You see, the quality of this squad we're building is just tremendous. Currently, Matthijs and Cruyff, linker up front. Seaman in goal, given on the bench. You're happy with that, aren't you? Keep them coming, please. 81089 on the text. You can phone 08717 22.
Have we got any fullbacks yet?
Have we got any fullbacks?
I think no matter what we do, you know, whether it's pushing a piano out a window 11, a supermarket 11, a does a footballer owe you money 11, we always struggle for fullbacks.
Okay, can we have some? Hugh says, does peeing next to Shilton behind a bush at a golf day count? No, that's entirely different football team. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. Mr. Pompey, John Westwood is on the line. John, how are you?
Yeah, great, thank you. Buzzing for the day.
Yeah, listen, there's always a discussion on international break of club v country, and I think I know the answer. I now, right, as a Cambridge fan, we'll go up some years and go down some years. I would give one promotion for Cambridge United away for England to win the World Cup, right? If I said to you, Portsmouth will finish 16th in League One, but England will win the World Cup, or Portsmouth will go up through the playoffs and England will get knocked out in the quarterfinals, what would you take?
I'd always take Pompey above England. At the end of the day, I'll follow England. I'll be there tomorrow night. But it's club before country for me. Always has been, always will be. I love England. I'm England till I die. But being a passionate Pompey fan, that's the way it is. That's your bread and butter. That's the team you follow week in and week out.
I work with Paul Merson, and he talks about how amazing the Portsmouth fans are compared to a lot of other fans. Is there a sort of pride now that you have a reputation for just making a lot of noise and filling your ground regardless of what division you're in?
There's always been a pride in Pompey. It's an island city. It's the only island city in this country, and it's got that island mentality. We're Portsmouth. We don't care about anyone else. We're not even English. We're Portsmouth. And it's just a working-class city. We've got the most famous dockyard in the world, and we've got, in my eyes, we've got the most famous football club. But it's the club that is the heartbeat of the city. But at the end of the day, I'm just pleased we've got a football club after what we've been through over the last few years. That my kids, my grandkids, and all that sort of thing can follow the club, and I think this man can take it on and make us better, without doubt.
You've had so many like the highs and the lows of Portsmouth have been quite extraordinary. When you think about winning the FA Cup and being in the top division and being in League Two, as a fan, do you prefer it any less being in League Two to being in the Premier League?
John, my honest opinion, I prefer the lower divisions. At the end of the day, the Premiership, I've got no time for it. It's not about the man in the street anymore. It's 50, 60 pound Norwich game of football. And that was actually proved to me when we went up to the Premiership. I had mates of mine who'd followed Pompey for 20, 30, 40 years. They'd given up relationships and jobs. And after a couple of years, they stopped going. And now we've tumbled down the leagues. So those lads have all come back.
Why did they do that? Because the dream, I'm a Cambridge fan, and obviously I don't think we'll ever get there. But the dream is to be there. And if they are, I would, I'd be so excited. Why did it change for them?
Well, the man in the street is like outpriced. It's just overpriced for the man in the street. When you're talking 50, 60 pounds, just to take yourself, and then you've got to take your kids and that, you're talking 100 quid just to get in the ground. But in a lower league, you can take your kid and that, and you can go for 30 quid and you can have a few beers. And football's not about winning. It's about being part of something. And obviously you want to win. But the Premiership is all about winning. It's all about money. It's all about corporate. It's not about the manager. It's all about brand. You look at Scudamore. It's all about brand this, brand that. It's nothing to do. And it does my head in when he says, when Scudamore, people like Scudamore say, we want to get away from that, people who go and have pies and watch football and all this sort of stuff. Hold on, that's the life of the club. If it wasn't for those people, they wouldn't have the millions they got now, because people wouldn't be interested in football. And the football clubs represent Portsmouth, Man United, Liverpool, Arsenal, or Cambridge, whatever you want. They represent the people who live in those cities, not people in the Far East, the armchair fans who don't even go to the games. They're meant to represent the place they come from. And this is where the Premiership's totally and utterly got it wrong.
But I love the Premier League. I mean, I love the Premier League. I love League Two as well. You can like both.
You can like both, but the one thing I will say, when you're in another league, it is about bums on seats. They actually appreciate the fans who go to the games, because they need to encourage them, because they're the ones who pay the wages. In the Premiership, it's the bums on seats don't even come into the equation, because they get so much money from Sky and all this sort of stuff. So the actual fans within the ground, the very lifeblood of the club, come secondary, and that is what makes me angry. I don't wonder if I want to get too involved in all that, but I love the lower leagues. I love football. I love Portsmouth Football Club.
Give us a score prediction for today, John.
I never predict results because I'm a Jonah. I know what I want, and I know what I get. But honestly, whenever I predict a result, it goes the wrong way.
No, I'm exactly the same.
It's just great to see Pompey on the way back. It's a proper football club with proper fans, and if we can have a season of consolidation, that would do us. We've got a good manager, a good owner, Pompey are back. And we've been let down by the Premier League and the Football League. They allowed owners to own us. They passed their fit and proper test, and then we got penalised for them allowing them. The government bodies never took
any
responsibility.
Let's guess the attendance today.
But
top
anyway,
journalist Barry Glendening
no
takes on top comedian Justin Morehouse. Hello,
that.
Justin.
If ever a club
owned this
part-time
reputation,
Pompey did
know
the sport club, they saved it.
Hey, you did the Legends game, Manchester United v Barcelona.
They've gone out on a high ball winning the championship.
What was the pace of the game? Was it a high-quality game?
Gods in my eyes.
Was it more there? Listen, John, great to hear your passion. Commentary of that game. So what is on Talksport? Portsmouth v Rotherham. You hosted it and then just left like a red Mr. Pompey there.
London's glittering West End.
To perform?
Some shows, yeah, last night. I've got an idea for the footballers in different places.
Okay, yeah.
You could just call it out of position.
Okay.
You know, so you see a footballer and he's slightly out of position.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Max is writing this down.
I've written out of position.
Out of position. Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Yeah, so well, that's the sort of general theme of the whole thing.
Yeah, so every week you have a different sort of, you know, have you seen a midfielder in a grocery store?
Yeah, okay. So there's, you know. Well, that's good. That's given some sort of real context to what we...
Yeah, it's a feature now rather than an idea.
Yeah, okay, good. Thank you very much. That's for upgrading it. This is great.
All right.
I love these on-air production meetings. They're the best ones.
Well, you always have to forward sell, don't you? And...
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Right.
How are you, chaps? You all right?
Yeah,
well,
yeah,
I'm slightly nervous today because I'm not doing well. I'm bossing Culver House, but I'm not doing well at Guess the Attendance, and as for that other one. But international break, Guess the Attendance is just...
Yeah.
I mean, whew.
Yeah, two words no one's ever said with glee. International break.
Let's start at the Abbey Stadium. Nicholas Kingsley refereed Cambridge United's stunning 1-0 victory over Colchester, taking them to 12th in the league, in League Two. All, you know, a playoff berth in their sights at this late stage of the season. But how many were there, Barry?
I should know this because you keep throwing in Cambridge United and I keep not remembering what their sort of average gate is. I'll go 6,022.
Justin.
4,311.
Damn it.
Is that East Anglia Derby as well? You'd have expected a few more.
I mean, that's a healthy attendance for us, but there is no, there's nothing between Cambridge and Colchester, you know, just sort of indifference like most teams. Let's stay in League Two. Chesterfield 0, Coventry 0. Coventry failing to beat 10 men after Weir was sent off for Chesterfield. Darren Drysdale officiated. But how many were there in the spiral town or whatever it is?
Spirize. You could say this is a derby of missed cathedral opportunities. One's had its cathedrals blown away. One with its twisted...
Spire.
Yeah.
Inspiring.
It's the interesting cathedrals derby. Chesterfield, Coventry. But how many were there to watch it?
I reckon a healthy 5,412.
5,412. Barry.
Ugh.
Are you going dirty this early?
No.
Go dirty.
What did he say? 5,412?
Yeah.
5,411.
Oh, you're not going dirty this early. 5,164
yes.
is one apiece. Let's go to... This is interesting now. Where should we take this one to? I'm going to say...
In your own time, Max.
League 2. Stay in there. Swindon 1, Barnet 4. Two red cards. It had everything. But how many were there in Swindon? Barry, you're first. Are you first, Barry?
Yeah.
Okay.
Swindon 1, Barnet 4 in League 2. Do we know who refereed?
Yes, James Linnington. That would have added 20 to 30.
Yeah, he brings some himself, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He always brings a big crowd. James Linnington. I will say...
The Linnington casuals, always there.
4,225.
4,226.
5,895.
Play dirt with me, Glenn Denning,
and
I'm bringing it on.
Okay, I'm desperately trying to just find an international one in this paper, but I can't.
Here,
so let's...
I've an observer.
Oh, no, that's what I'm looking at. Bury 0, Scunthorpe 1. A late goal from Morris gives Scunthorpe the win, taking them into fourth position in League 1. Eddie Ilderton was there refereeing. But how many were in Bury?
Who were they playing, sorry?
Scunthorpe.
That's like a winter is coming...
Bury versus Scunthorpe.
Derby, isn't it?
Yeah, right, I'd say 3,100.
Barry.
Right. Well, I'd say he has a fair idea how many Barry you'd get. If he reckons 3,100, so... Mm. Basically going to go one either side of it.
You're better than that.
I'm not better than that, Justin. You know I'm not. I got 3,101.
What did you say, Justin?
He said 3,100.
4,055, 2-2. Once again, it's turning into an absolute classic.
It's a decider, and I'm in the dirty hole.
Okay.
so to speak.
First time I've ever said that.
Oh, God.
Hey, it's good. If we're enjoying it, the listeners are enjoying it.
Right. Oh, God, I don't.
2-2. Justin's in the dirty hole. Bradford City 3, Bristol Rovers 1. 2 second-half goals from Bradford.
I actually saw most of this game.
Did you?
But
did you?
That's how bored I was yesterday.
Did you count?
No, I didn't count.
Did you count the people in the crowd? That would have been. Well, if you cared about this.
I didn't even notice whether the stands were full or sparsely, you know,
populated.
Can I just ask a question, Barry?
Yeah.
You're a journalist, yeah?
That is correct.
Your job is to notice things and report on them.
Well, yesterday was a day off, so I specifically didn't. I made a point of not noticing things.
Right, for the sanctity of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. I love that. Thank you.
Okay, so...
David Webb reffed, if you're interested.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Webbo!
Yeah. Yeah.
Just saying words now to get away from...
I did notice that Stuart McCall was interviewed afterwards. Everyone had gone.
Oh, okay.
But I didn't notice how many had been there in the
first
place.
Was he interviewed on a car?
No, he wasn't.
A great shame.
Health and safety don't allow that anymore. Bradford, Bristol City, David Webb refereeing. I've gone... Bradford's well supported club. I'll go 13,200.
Justin Morehouse. So take a 3-0 victory.
In the league. Some great form there, aren't I?
Mm, you're on fire.
What did he say?
I can't remember.
13,200.
13,199.
19,284. Barry actually cares. Thanks, Justin. We've talked too much. We've got a break. Justin Morehouse there. His first defeat of the season. Will he come back from that? Find out next week. Quick game of Culverhouse, Barry.
Okay.
Let's go. Egil Ostenstadt.
Kevin Brock.
David Hopkin.
Trevor Peak.
Lee Sinnott.
Lee Bradbury.
Dave Bennett.
Gary Bennett.
Youssef Chippo.
Mustafa Hadji.
Steve Anthrobus.
Ian Ormondroyd.
Peter Fear.
Ian Selly.
Alan Kimball.
Ian Brightwell.
John Polston.
Ian Wong.
Wayne Faraday.
Ian Butterworth.
Danny Maddox.
Ian Culverhouse.
Oh, well done. Well done, Barry. That puts you 3-1 up this season. You're running away with it.
That was showboating.
It really was. I was nowhere near. Lots of charity games happening this weekend. The game for Grenfell. Some really good pictures from there. Jose going in goal. Was a delight to see. There was the Man United Legends game against Barcelona as well for the Manchester United Foundation. And the Bradley Lowry charity game is taking place at Goodison Park today. And our bronzed hero, Mickey Gray, is playing. England legend Mickey Gray is hopefully in the starting 11. We'll find out now. Mickey, how are you?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Yeah.
Not too bad, thanks.
Are you on the team coach?
No, I'm driving to the ground.
Okay. Do you know if you're starting yet, Mickey? Are you nervous?
Well, if I'm not starting, I'm turning about around and going home.
That's the charitable part of Mickey Gray there, isn't it? It's a great cause. It's a great cause, isn't it?
No, absolutely, yeah. And I think, you know, the type of players, the guys who are coming today, I mean, I think they've all understood what's been going on with Bradley, and obviously he lost his life, which was such a shame because, you know, you talk about a little fighter and he was up there with the best of them. I mean, it was absolutely incredible, and he grabbed the hearts of the whole country, if you like. So, yeah, it's nice that we can, you know, put this charity day on. I know there's been a few over the weekend, but I think this is the one that counts for us. We want to try and raise as much money as we possibly can. I think it's Bradley's Blues against Lowry's Legends. So there'll be a few faces out there, but I'm looking forward to it, Max.
Are you fit?
Well, my back's a bit Gammy, if I'm brutally honest with you. So I'm going to have to give it a little go in the warm-up. It's not been great for about 2.5-3 weeks. I've got a bit of a trapped nerve in my back, so just give it a bit of a stretch. But I might have to use my right foot a couple of times. Is that a problem?
Well, it will be the first time it's ever been seen on a football pitch.
I think Barry can vouch for that one as well. But if I have to use my right foot, then I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, I see Mickey, Peter Reed's down, Alex Ray as well. I'm guessing you may, Alex won't, but you and Pete might adjourn to the bar afterwards. That could get messy.
Barry, I'm driving. I can't do them things.
Oh, yeah.
No, but there was a party last night, I think, so I think there'll be a few sore heads today. I couldn't actually make it over there last night. I know that there was quite a few of them turned up, but whatever I can't drink, I'm sure Reedy will drink for me.
Now, the thing is, Mickey, I've played in these games, right, and it's all friendly and it's all happy until you get in the dressing room, one, and then there's like 30 people in each dressing room, and already the ex-pros are annoyed that they're not going to play 90 minutes. And then somebody just gets a whiteboard and just like sticks up names and goes, where do you play? And everyone goes, centre forward. And they go, no, Mickey, you don't. And then.
Sorry.
That's all right. And then it makes the interview more exciting, Mickey. And then basically, as soon as they cross the white line, they have white line syndrome and they take it seriously. And if you dribble past an ex-pro, they'll take you out the next time. It's true, isn't it, Mickey?
Well, they can try. But, you know, you talk about it all being serious and looking for your name on the team sheet and everything. Our manager's Katie Price today, so I don't know how that's going to go down. That should be a bit of fun when we get in the dressing room.
See,
I think all the lads will be breathing in for the first 10 minutes when she's in the dressing room.
Well, the thing is, if you've followed her managerial career, she likes to play wing-backs, right? So that means you're going to have to do a lot of running, Mickey.
Yeah.
You know, so are you ready for that?
I'm insisting that I play right wing so I can just chop back onto my left foot and have an easy afternoon.
I didn't actually realise Katie Price had done her coaching badges.
She's still doing them. She's still doing them. So she's got a deal where she can manage in this game. And she's still got to complete the A licence. She's doing it with the FA Wales, I think. One, you played for England, Mickey. Three glorious appearances. I can't remember who they were against. But what have you made of you know, England fans leaving the ground before it had finished? That kind of disconnect that people think between the squad and the manager and the fans?
Well, I always feel disappointed when any supporters, not just for your country, but even in domestic, you know, if you play for Sunderland or Blackburn Rovers, in my case, or any of my other clubs. But, you always want to see people or bums on seats, if you like, and see the final whistle. And let's not forget that, you know, England won the game. So you think that all the supporters would be happy about that anyway. I think, no, this quick getaway thing, it's kind of grew into football over what the last, I would say, 10 years. But it's not nice, you know, if you're playing in the middle of a game and you see people walking up to the exit doors. I've never been a fan of that. I just think you should stay there. Let's not forget, you paid for your ticket.
Yeah.
You know, you don't just go to watch 80 minutes of football. You want to see the final whistle and then say thank you very much. That was a good game. It was a bad game. You've got your opinion on the game. But stay there until it's finished.
Yeah, I think it's a fair point. Cheers, McKay. Enjoy the game today. If you see anyone actually famous, can you... No disrespect to you. Can you get him to ring us up in the next half hour?
Yeah, I'll try and get Ollie Mears on for you. I think he's here.
Yeah.
If I can get him, I'll ring him.
Or Kem and Chris from Love Island.
Oh, yeah, it's Chris from Love Island.
Kem is there.
Oh, yeah, get them.
They're more our type on paper.
Hey, cheers. Cheers, Mickey.
You can ask him how many toilets he's got.
Cheers, Mickey. Enjoy the day.
See you later.
Take care, mate. Mickey Gray there. I'll play in the Bradley Lowry game if you are. Near Goodison Park, go down there this afternoon. Like all these charity games for a great cause. Ollie Mears obviously played yesterday, so maybe in the red zone. Some of these pop stars are playing too many games, and it's a real issue.
So Damien Lewis was playing.
Yeah.
Ben Shepherd.
Yeah, but he's super fit, Shepherd, isn't he?
Is he?
Yeah, he's like a machine. He does is press ups and TV shows. Mark says Llorente and his piercing blue eyes did not go to Chelsea because he knew his devastating good looks were no match for Morata. That's an interesting point, Mark. More on that through the week on TalkSport. Time now for the footballer game. Barry hates this bit. We're joined by enthusiastic 20-year-old Ben. How are you, Ben?
I'm very good, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, very well, thanks. Here's how it works. Thank you to Ben Collins, who suggested we play this game. You've seen it on social media. We're now doing it in radio form. It works as follows. Ben will give us the year and the appearances and the club, and we, in turn, have to try and guess the footballer, and it's very difficult. All right. We've got three footballers again?
Yes, we have.
I think I'm better than Barry at this.
2-1 victory for you last week.
Yes, God. I lived off that for a week. It's joyous. Okay.
Right.
All right, here we go. Barry, how are you feeling?
I'm buoyed by my magnificent performances in Culver House and Guess the Attendance.
Mm-hmm.
Good form.
Hoping for a hat-trick.
Okay, here we go.
Okay. Starting their career in 1985 at Arsenal and making 327 appearances.
Tony Adams?
No.
85. Rocastle?
Nope.
Davis?
Nope.
Okay.
Then to Brentford on loan, making 6 appearances.
Arsenal to Brentford? 300 times. John Lukic?
Nope. Then to Middlesbrough, making 48 appearances.
Paul Merson?
Yes.
Come on!
There it is. 1-0.
Okay. Merson went from Arsenal to Brentford.
Yeah.
Short loan spell.
Yeah. Maybe that Brentford was before he played for Arsenal. I'd check you. You might, you know. Oh, you've got it in front of you.
Don't question this.
Okay, fine. Hello, Merce played in that Grenfell game. Didn't lose the ball. I watched 20 minutes of the second half. Outside of the right foot. What a glorious thing to see.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I said I might pick him for my Saturday team. Then I remembered he's busy on a Saturday, isn't he? That's his job. Right, 1-0 to me.
Right.
You didn't even have a guess there, Barry. It's like you're not playing properly.
Well, I'm not just going to shout names for the sake of it.
Normally, to be fair, when Barry guesses, he guesses right.
It is true.
Right. Starting their career in 1996 at Blackburn Rovers and making 4 appearances.
It's tough.
Right. Then to Southampton, making 204 appearances.
Kevin Davies?
Nope.
The other one. James Beattie?
Yes. 2-0.
Come on.
He's playing you off the park, Barry. Right, again, you're playing for pride.
I'd like to say that,
I've
you know,
no pride.
Beattie and Davis are individuals, and I shouldn't treat them as the same human beings as I just did.
I've been in both their houses.
Okay. What you get up to in your spare time, Barry, is none of my business.
But I should have known.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I'm just, you know, I can prove they are separate entities.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Right, can you get a whitewash, Max?
Okay, well, I hope so.
I don't think so. I haven't even had a guess yet.
No, okay. I might...
See, can I explain how I managed to get this so bad, how I'm so bad at this? I've figured it out.
Yeah.
As soon as I hear the year,
yeah,
I try to figure out what age they are now.
Yeah.
But I'm so bad at maths that by the time I figure that out, you've already guessed who it is.
Okay. Yeah, look, listen, these are conversations you have to have with your manager in your own time. Not during the game.
Yeah. I still haven't figured out. Well, I think I worked out Merson is 48.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. I still haven't figured out how old James Beattie is.
But the game is not how old is the footballer.
But could we play that game instead? I wouldn't be very good at that either.
It's
anyway.
A different game which we can do in our fifth season.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
I don't think we're going to get a fifth season.
I think so. Well, if you keep playing with such a bad attitude, that might be why we get...
No, I'm trying. It's just not happening for me.
Paul Merson's 49.
Okay, well, I was there or thereabouts.
There you were.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Starting their career in 1974 at Portsmouth and playing 63 times.
Paul Mariner.
No.
Okay.
Sorry,
1974.
I don't know.
Then to Swindon, making 147 appearances. Still nothing. Then to Portsmouth, playing 11 times. Then to Brentford, playing 152 times.
Some random blogger that no one's ever heard of. Something called, like, you know, Dave Smith.
You definitely know him.
Okay.
Swindon, 87 appearances.
Okay.
Stoke, 60 appearances. Leeds, 20 appearances. Luton Town, 49.
Okay. This guy's literally...
Okay. Short loan spell to Sheffield United and Middlesbrough.
Nick Hartford.
No. Permanently to Sheffield United. 23 appearances for Bradford.
What a tour this guy had.
And then coming out of retirement in 2012 to play for Welshpool Town twice.
I have no clue.
Does he work at TalkSport?
No. He's been on before, though. He's on television.
Peter Beagrie?
Nope. Right, he's part of the Soccer Saturday team.
Cammy!
Yes. There it is.
All right. God, he's done well. With his... He's done well, Cammy.
More clubs than Anelka.
Could you go through those teams again? Cammy's teams.
Portsmouth.
We'll be on till
Swindon,
3.
Portsmouth, Brentford, Swindon, Stoke, Leeds, Luton, Sheffield United, Borough, Sheffield United, Bradford.
Okay, so
you got around.
Right, I'm not playing that game anymore.
You can't not. Like,
you can't.
You can't just not play.
I did a very good job of not playing in that one, and I was trying.
Why are you so truculent, Barry?
Because I hate it.
Is that what, like, when you were a teenager? Were you like this? You know, when your mum got your tea and you didn't like it, you were like, I hate this. I'm not having it.
No, my mum...
It's another side of you, Barry. I know you're sort of a bit of a grump, but I always thought it was kind of an act. You know, you're like, actually, you're happy-go-lucky, but you've got this on-air persona of being a little bit grumpy, and people like it, and, you know, actually...
I just don't like that game.
Okay, well...
It makes us look stupid.
But it didn't make me look...
Even more stupid.
Made me look quite good there, really.
Not really.
I've got 2 points. 3, actually.
3 points.
Hey, we'll be back in a minute. They were the best bits. I hope you enjoyed them. Bye.